Lord, you are a fountain of life, restorer of my soul. I worship you today. Lord, you are a fountain of life.
Hello, everyone. This is Charles Zuta, your host of the Fountain of Life podcast. And it's a real privilege to welcome you again to another episode of the Fountain of Life podcast. And we looking at the series, God's Recipe for Nourishing Body, Soul, and Spirit, using the manna as our model. And for the past couple of episodes, we have seen how God had provided miraculously for Israel. And the Bible calls that food he provided for them food from heaven, angels food, etc., etc. And we also did talk in the last episode about how Jesus is the embodiment, all the sacrifices he made is the embodiment or a model or the real thing, actually not a model, the real thing of the manna that God was giving the people in the wilderness. So in today's episode, I want us to continue to look at the do's and don'ts. We also went through the list of do's and don'ts with how they appropriated the manna. So I did promise that I was going to go into a bit more detail about some of these do's and don'ts and see how it applies to our fellowship with the Father, how it applies to our relationship to the Word of God, how it applies to how we nourish ourselves in God. So the first one that I want us to look at in more detail is still to do with the instruction Moses gave them with regards to how they collected it and then how they used it. So basically, if you come with me to Exodus chapter 16 and verse 15, it says, so when the children of Israel saw it, the it being the manna, they said to one another, what is it? But they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. So we saw the relevance of that. That growth, increase, and everything is up to us. It's our individual need, or it's our individual need that drives how we relate to church, how we relate to God, and all of it. But beyond that, we have to take ownership of our own spiritual growth. So Moses said, let each one gather according to his need. But beyond that, he says, according to the number of persons within that household, let every man take for those who are in his tent. So if Jesus, his blood, his body that he shed, and the totality of the blessings of God that comes to us through Jesus is what is being referred to here, or is being described here as the manna. Besides we approaching it on the basis of our needs, here Moses is teaching them the need to share one another's burden, the need to be responsible for the people within our households. And this is very important because God doesn't only deal with us as individuals. The people he has blessed us with, our immediate families and the people we have influence over, are also part of God's plans. So I want us to delve a bit deeper into collecting for the needs of those who are in our tent. I don't know the people who are in your tent. It could just be you right now. Or it could be you and a whole household that God has blessed you with. The key thing is that God is expecting you to collect those resources, to collect the manna, to meet those needs that are around you. So that is what I want us to explore a bit more. And that begins with the deliverance plan itself in Exodus chapter 12, how they got out of Egypt, and which is symbolic of that sacrifice of Jesus to begin with, that's as the Passover lamb. So in Exodus chapter 1, from the verse 1, this is what the Bible says. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself. Note that word again. Every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. You see, so, and again, he also introduces the sharing aspect in verse 4. It says, and if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it together according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall take your count for the lamb. So the whole salvation package once again echoes what he's teaching them with the manna. And we all see that in Jesus Christ. Okay, if Jesus is the actual thing, and this is just a shadow, there is no conflict in the truth of God. So he says, each man for a lamb, if it's too small, you share with your neighbor, but you take according to each man's need. Right? So here he says, according to each one's need. That is how they took of the manna. And they took it according to their households, according to the each man's need, you shall make your account for the lamb. So the salvation plan itself had this built in. Each man's need, according to their need, according to their households, and then according to their neighbors. Right. So God has this feel for bringing everybody into his ark. God wants everybody to be saved. He's worked this into the salvation plan. So right from here, on their exit strategy out of Egypt, God built this into the salvation plan. You take each lamb for each household according to each man's need. You take for the people in your household. And then you also take, if it's too small for each household, you bring in your neighbors and you share together. And so God had this worked out, figured out, and he begins to enforce it along the way. So here they were to take according to each man's need, but beyond that, they were to take according to the number of persons in the house, and then to take according to those who are in their tent. So it comes down to the same question: who is in your tent? Are they being nourished? Are they benefiting? Or it's more like, okay, I know Christ, I go to church, I have my quiet time, and that's the end of the story. Remember, we have some kind of responsibility towards not just ourselves, but also for the people in our tent and beyond. So, what does this mean to us? God didn't just end at this point. All the other instructions he's going to give them, he will build the same thing into it. He's looking at the household. And that is very critical, because if the society he's going to build, because God is looking at a bigger picture. Every society is built around households. It's built, those households make the communities make the cities, on and on and on until you have the whole society or the whole nation. The fabric that holds that society together is the households. If the households are failing, the households are crumbling, that is practically the fiber of society unraveling. Show me a society that is strong and vibrant and going, and yet that society doesn't have the basic building blocks of that society meshed together and doing well. Every society thrives on a fabric. That fabric is a family. And that family unit expands, exercises influence. So if we are seeing society unraveling, it's not just the government. Let us look down and ask ourselves, how healthy are our families? How are families doing? Because it is individuals out of those families that go out to influence society at large. So God, in his bigger plan, is building a nation. He's building a strong nation. He's building a nation that through which he can pour his blessings. So he's built into it that caring, you know, that ability to look beyond just my need, to look at the bigger good of that society. So let us look at some examples in the book of Deuteronomy, and we will see how God plans to provide continuity, growth, and strength and stability for society, looking at what is going on within our tents, that is our households. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 6 from verse 6 to 9, Moses is recounting the things that God had asked him to do. In verse 6, this is what Moses says. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So what's he saying? The commandments, the things that God had asked them to do, obeying them is vital for their survival. How does he want them to relate to those things? He says they should diligently teach them. So he says, I command you, it should be in your heart. You should know it. Each man, for a lamp for each man. Yes. But then he goes on to say, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk about them when you sit down in your house, when you walk, wherever you are. Have that word, that a focus on what God had commanded you or what God wants you to know. Write it down, keep it in your face, but beyond that, teach it to your children. Okay, teach it to your children. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So that whole household is sealed with that knowledge, with that truth. You see, write them on the doorpost of your house, just like Joshua said in Joshua 24:14-15, me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. So this is about gathering the manna for those who are in my tent. Beyond me taking according to my need, I have to have a responsibility to gather that manna to make sure that those who are in my tent are fed, right? And he's teaching them this, that the words that he commands them, keep it in your heart, great, but teach them diligently to your children, and then talk of them. You see, let those words permeate your conversation. Let it be wherever you are. Write them on the doorpost of your house. When you come in, when you go out, you constantly say it. So everybody in that household will be influenced by that truth. So that is what God has in mind with regards to feeding and nourishing according to those households. And this is not the only instance. He goes on in chapter 4, in Exodus chapter 4, the verse 7 to 10, to emphasize the same thing. And he says, for what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason, we may call upon him. And what great nation is there that has set statutes and righteous judgments as are in the law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, and they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, that they may teach their children. So once again, it's about the household. He's speaking to the adults that, hey, this is what God had done for you in the past. He brought you forth. He taught you great things. He espoused his truth to you. You stood before the Lord on Mount Horeb, and the Lord said, draw them to me. And he says, you do these things so that you will live long in the earth, all the days of the earth, and then teach your children. So this is again about the household. So it's not about just the truth that we know or the truth that we understand, but that truth needs to permeate into the household. So that is what is teaching them in this concept with the manna. If you learn to go out and gather the manna and gather it with your family, your household in mind, it becomes spontaneous when you have to share the truth and the knowledge that is in God's word with your household. So that is God's dinner table conversation. Not just about your getting filled with the manna, but you getting filled with the manna, but learning to share it with those in your tent. So it comes as no surprise that God said that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved in your household, because that has been the pattern that he had been using all along, right from the Passover all the way through to Exodus and beyond. God never left anybody out of the household. He always made provision for that entire household. And that is how God. But now let's look at a high point in that conversation, in that discussion, with regards to we taking responsibility and making sure that we gather the manna for those who are in our household. Let's go to still in Deuteronomy chapter 11. And there's some profound truth there that I want to bring to your understanding. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, very, very fascinating passage. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 to 21. From verse 18, once again, he talks about the words. It says, therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. Lay up these words in your heart and mind and in your soul. Heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Tattoo them, put them as a seal between your eyes. And then he goes on, verse 9, you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And then he goes on to give them the benefits, and I'll spend a little bit of time on those benefits. But he says clearly the process. Now it's no more just going to collect manna. We now know what the manna signifies. He's talking about the words, his words, his words, his words. So those words are captured in the law. In our days, we have it as the Bible. That is the totality of what God wants us to do. That is God's mind. So as we approach the word of God, the Bible says that we should bind them as a sign on our hands and between the frontlet of our eyes. We keep them in the front of our eyes. And it says we should teach them, or he told the people of Israel back then, teach them to your children, speaking of them as you sit down in your houses. You see, so around the dinner table, as we're talking about football, as we are talking about dating, as we are talking about everything that I say, speak about them as you sit down in your house. The conversation around should always circle back to the principles and the values and the things of God. It says, teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verse 20, and you shall write them on the door of your house. Verse 21, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. If you've heard that expression, heaven on earth, this is it. God is saying that when we do this, when we take care of the people in our tent, our days on the earth shall be long, and that of our children. Their days on earth will be long, and then our time with them as a family is going to be like heaven on earth. So, as I mentioned for the beginning, the overall health of society and of our house and our communities is based on the quality of our homes, on the quality of our society, on the quality of the family structure and the family unit. And I'm going to quote this, which the late Bible teacher Derek Prince used to say, that juvenile delinquency is adult delinquency. And there is a lot of truth in that. If we fail to do this, if we fail to bring our children to that place, if we fail to feed them the truth, if we fail to bring the truth around them, then it's going to be a problem. That is going to create a lot of the dysfunction that we see in society. But when we succeed in doing this, it says their days is going to be like heaven on earth. And that is what we all want. That is what society wants. That is what is going to happen to us. But if we fail to do this, to follow the word of God, to teach them, to gather for them, just like physically, they'll be malnourished and may end up dying. In the same sense, when we feed them, we create an atmosphere which is like heaven on the earth. God willing, I'll come your way again and we'll continue to look at this subject of manna, God's provision for nourishing body, soul, and spirit, or God's recipe for nourishing body, soul, and spirit. And I want to remind you again that this podcast is available on Apple Podcasts. It's streaming live on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Amazon, and all the other places where you get your podcast. For those of us who have been following us in this podcast, thank you so much. And I'm really, really blessed to have you share fellowship with us throughout this process. God richly bless you. Till we meet again on this podcast, I say stay blessed. Thank you. Oh, Lord. Yeah. I am the well of life. This is Charles Uta, your host of the Fountain of Life podcast. Thank you so much to all who have followed this podcast. You've been watching and then listening to our podcast over and over again. Thank you so much. I want to give you a sneak peek to an upcoming episode. In this series, which we captioned Memories, Ministers or Monsters, we want to ask that very quintessential question. Are our memories ministers or are they monsters? You see, memory plays a very crucial role in our lives, but sometimes our memories can be weaponized against us. So whilst there are memories that we cherish, there are also memories that frighten us, memories that torment us, memories that create problems for us. It reminds me of the words of the songwriter that says that sometimes it feels like we are a one-man army fighting with shadows in our heads. You know, not everybody wins that battle. And unfortunately, people have given up hope in life, they've resorted to self-harm and every imaginable pain that comes when we lose that battle in the mind. But basically, God has a lot to say about memories, and I want us to explore that. So join me as we look at this very, very exciting topic. Memory, is it a monster or is it a minister? How do we strengthen ourselves to be able to win that battle? God richly bless you.
The book of Matthew 11:28-29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest.